This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Mr. Spadoni, it is Black Hole Sundays. Joe Spadoni, Stephen Langford. This is a podcast for the Raider fans that are still stuck around in the Bay. The ones that are still left, they're still paying attention to the team with Vegas. But good afternoon, everyone. We're leading up to the Hall of Fame game here come Thursday. Training camp has been underway. Pads have gone on. And before we get into everything, because we are going to do a little positional group breakdown, going group by group, and really, it's not really the quarterback we got to focus on, but what's going on at running back, what's going on in the trenches. I personally think the secondary is starting to shape out nicely, so we'll get into all of that leading up to the Hall of Fame game come Thursday against the Jaguars. But just a quick update, Spadoni. The Denver Broncos, just to give a little AFC West update, the Denver Broncos, two players have gone out with season-ending torn ACLs, number one being running back Demaria Crockett, who I've never heard of before, but you know what? The Broncos are lacking in running back, so I don't doubt that he would have had a place on that team. But the other guy is wide receiver Tim Patrick. And you'd expect that it would have been Cortland Sutton on one end, Tim Patrick on the other, because he's more of a big-bodied wide receiver, and then Jerry Jeudy in the slot, or a variation of those, because Jerry Judy's not one you just want to have miss snaps. But Tim Patrick for the Denver Broncos going down, and the AFC West, well, it looks like the competition, you don't want this to happen. You never want injuries to happen to any player. But these wide receivers that they've given big contracts to, Tim Patrick, another one to go down.
Yeah, it's too bad. You just really, I hate to say this phrase, but you do hate to see something like that.
Yeah.
It's just so early on, a guy who just got paid to finally going to have a quarterback that he could play with and build a rapport with, because that wasn't really happening too much with Bridgewater or Locke or any of the other countless Denver wide receivers played the last couple of years. Yeah, it just sucks, man. Like, this is an up-and-coming wide receiver who's – like, you don't think about him in the AFC West because you have a Devontae, Keenan Allen, even a Juju Smith-Schuster in Kansas City now. You think of all these big names. But Tim Patrick's a damn good player, and he showed it last year. So that just sucks, man. It really – that sucks. Like, I hate the Broncos, but I don't want to see anyone lose an entire season based off that. Sucks for fantasy too. Like, you look at that aspect. Like,
yeah,
it's selfish of me, but like, come on. Like, it's just, it sucks for the player, man. Like, I hate season ending injuries like that. It sucks.
Yeah. Especially early on in training camp. Now There are some unrestricted free agents who are still around. So my question to you off this, and I'm going to give you five. All right. There are plenty of wide receivers who are still available within free agency. And I'm going to give you a list of five. So I don't know that you could either power rank them or give me out of the five, which one you would least like to see on the Broncos moving forward. So I'm going to give you the five here. You got Odell Beckham Jr., who's coming off that injury, Will Fuller, T.Y. Hilton, Emmanuel Sanders, and Cole Beasley. Out of those five, which would you least like to see on the Denver Broncos? Cole Beasley, Emmanuel Sanders, T.Y. Hilton, Will Fuller, or Odell Beckham?
Probably Odell, just because he has the highest upside still out of all those guys. I would trust him the most to come back just because his skill set isn't totally based on speed, his route running. You can just run routes like and he has great hands in clutch moments. Cole Beasley, whatever, old. T.Y., brittle, he's getting old. Who was the other one you had? You had T.Y., Cole Beasley.
Emmanuel Sanders,
old, doesn't really bother me anymore. That'd be cool for a little reunion back in Denver maybe, but I don't know. That doesn't really scare me. Odell's the one that would, if he comes back like halfway through the season – like that, but that could frighten me a little bit. Him and Russ together. I don't know. Like that, I was hoping Odell for the Raiders, to be honest with you, to shore up that number two wide receiver and have Renfrow be three. I mean, I don't mind Renfrow as the two, but just put this offense over the top. But yeah, it could happen. Do you think the Broncos are really be looking that into it to another guy like that?
Why wouldn't they? I mean, if you have a guy who's going on a season-ending injury with an IL or with an ACL and going on the season-ending IL or whatever you want to call it, the IR, I mean, why not look at one of those guys? And Odell Beckham most likely going to be back with the Rams, but if you can get a deep threat like Will Fuller, who is injury prone,
he was hurt a lot last year in the year. Will Fuller, that was the other one I missed, but he's definitely takes the top off of the defense. He's fast, inconsistent a little bit from game to game, but yeah, he's great if he's healthy, but he's not healthy. That's the problem. He's just
T.Y. Hilton. All last year. T.Y. Hilton would be the one guy for me. I wouldn't want to see him. He's 32 years old, and I know he's kind of lost it, but he's still a deep threat, man. I wouldn't want to go through a game where it feels like you've locked up Cortland Sutton and you've locked up Jerry Jeudy and you've done what you've had to do with, you know, Rakyasin and Nate Hobbs, and you've really taken care of it. And then at the end, when they really need a touchdown bad, all of a sudden T.Y. Hilton comes in late and scores a late game touchdown off a 9 route. Like, I just don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. Now, I'm not freaking out over it because this is the Broncos, but
these are his last 3 years for T.Y. Hilton, Steve. Mm-hmm. So 13 games played. Check that. 10 games played, 15 games played, and then 10 games played. Mm-hmm. In 2019, 45 receptions, 500 yards. 2020, 56 receptions, 762. Last year, 23 receptions, 331 yards. I don't think he's that player anymore. And maybe some of that is the Colts' inconsistency at quarterback. Granted, Russell Wilson's way better than a Jacoby Brissett or a Carson Wentz or a Phillip Rivers. Like, he's way better than those guys. But,
I'm not scared of him.
I'm just going to put it that way. I'm not scared of T.Y.
You can give me the numbers in totality, which is fine, but I'm not talking in totality. I'm not talking for the entire season. I'm talking for two games out of the year. Last year, like, I'm going back to last year, he did that exact thing with the Colts. It was a one catch for 45 yards, and it was a touchdown. I just don't want to see T.Y. Hilton. I know I sound crazy.
Okay, that was the busted play, though, where
it was
Merrig and I want to say Hobbs like ran into each other at the goal line.
Yes,
you know, they kept showing it. You know what? I hate, and you know this too, because you run the board in the mornings. It's like you have the NFL Network and they just show the loops of highlights of quarterbacks. Oh, Carson Wentz is ramping up with Washington. Yeah. Just shows his highlights from last year. They show that highlight against the Raiders. It's like, that wasn't a good play. It should have been picked off by two different people. And they got lucky that T.Y. Hilton caught it. Anyways, Carson Wentz was awful in that game, by the way.
Oh, he was terrible. Man, didn't he have 8 yards going into the like almost 8 yards thrown in the first half? I think he gained more in toward the end of the first half, but I remember he was like 1 for 5 with 8 yards passing.
Matt Ryan's gonna be good for that team. Jonathan Taylor was a boss last year, so that's actually a fun team to watch. The Colts, sneaky team. They're always a sneaky team, I feel like.
What is it though?
I'm not scared of them. Maybe I'm just arrogant too because the Raiders just owned the Broncos, other than right when Peyton Manning left, it seems like that's when things just went bad for the Broncos. That's when the Raiders picked up and just didn't lose to them again. It felt like the occasional loss in Denver here and there. Cold weather, I get it, but I need to see it from Russell Wilson this year. I think you're at that same boat with me. Like, he looked bad with the Seahawks last year, and I know it's a change of scenery. Maybe the offensive line's a little better in Denver, more weapons, but now that Tim Patrick's gone, we'll see. So I don't know, man. I got to see it.
Yep. First time we'll be seeing them is in October. So until then, we'll see if they make any moves, but that's going to be their first matchup. It's going to be on October 2nd. So that is the latest through the AFC West. Not a lot of other breaking news with the other teams. Not much with the Chiefs and the Chargers, other than Justin Herbert is currently the betting favorite to lead the league in passing touchdowns this year. So we'll see what happens there. That's all we got. We got nothing else but good news from Chargers and Chiefs land. So we're not going to get to it. But let's get to the Raiders, and I'm going to put this up on the screen right now. But the first official depth chart has come through, and I want to go through position group by position group, Spadoni. Actually, you know what? Dealer's choice. Who do you want to start with? Do you want to start with the offensive line, the D-line, the secondary, the linebackers?
Yeah, let's go inside out. Shout out Pixar. Okay. Let's go offensive line.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? This is showing right now, the first official depth chart. Alex Leatherwood is the number one guy at right tackle with Brandon Parker behind him. But from all the reports that I've seen, and again, this is just the first depth chart that's come out. It's August 1st this was made. But according to reports, it seems like on the outside, they're going to have Colton Miller at the left side, Brandon Parker at the right side, and Alex Leatherwood. I mean, he's worked with the ones a little bit, but the latest reports are that he's been working with the threes. So I don't know what they're planning on doing with Alex Leatherwood. Lester Cotton has worked himself into a role, and Lester Cotton's been cut by the Raiders like 4 different times. So his story is pretty awesome. So apparently he's put a ton of work in. He received the Samson Award for how hard he's worked. That's like goes to the hardest worker on the team. He found God. He got baptized a few weeks before training camp. So there you go, Derek Carr. That's perfect for your lineman. So Lester Cotton, it looks like he's the number one guy, Andre James and John Simpson. So that's what it's looking like right now.
Yeah. I don't know how much stock I put into like them releasing this right now for the Hall of Fame game. Vic Tafer alluded as such, obviously covers the Raiders for the Athletic, that he puts very, very little stock into Alex Leatherwood being the one on the depth chart heading into the Hall of Fame game.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I would love it if that – I actually don't have a problem with this starting lineup. Maybe a Dylan Parham, I would like if he could work his way into that starting lineup, that would be great. Just for what – that's kind of what you drafted him for.
Yeah.
For his versatility. And maybe that's it. Maybe if someone gets hurt, he could fill in a role here and there, which is huge to have because you just saw what happened last year where just never-ending revolving door at right guard and right tackle, it seemed like.
Yep.
Jermaine Illuminor, I like him. I felt like he's always been consistent. Gets beat every now and then, but he's there. Lester Cotton, like you said, he's been a revolving door with his team, man. So I'm happy for him. I hope things go well. I don't know how much stock the Raiders are going to put in specifically Josh McDaniels in these preseason games for Alex Leatherwood. Maybe a lot. Maybe it's a big proving point for him to just not get beat, see what he does at the – like last year, I think it wasn't getting beat that was mostly frustrating for me because he'll get through that. He'll work through that. We saw Colton Miller. It was just the penalties. God.
Mm-hmm.
But like it just stalled in that – and it was just on center stage for the entire nation to watch in that Bengals game in the wild card round. Like they had 10 pre-snap penalties that just killed drives. And just, I didn't have any faith in that team winning that game because of those penalties.
That's just something that I hope they're really trying to clean up. Reports are such that they're trying to do that, trying to be more accountable, running laps, if you will. I don't know how much that really does. Cool, run a lap because you have a false start. What does that do? But maybe a lot in 100 degree heat in Nevada. But I don't know, Steve. I'm hoping that this actually is the depth chart heading into week one. That's the hope, because if that is, that means the Raiders training staff, coaching staff, they trust Alex Leatherwood at the right tackle position. That's yes. What I'm hoping. I don't think it's going to happen, but I hope it does.
What it's looking like most likely is you're going to see him as the swing tackle, unless he does something spectacular this training camp. Like, I don't think they're very high on Alex Leatherwood. I'm sure that McDaniels and Ziegler would have done it differently if they were involved within that draft. I don't think that they would have drafted Alex Leatherwood with that pick. I think they would have gone a different direction. So I just see him being the swing tackle. I don't have a lot of faith in this offensive line. I just don't. I'm not feeling confident in it at all. Derek Carr, Davante Adams, they're going to have their work cut out for him. I hope they can get open quickly. Dylan Parham, I hope he can work himself into a starting role. He's been playing the backup center position, backing up Andre James. He's been running with the twos at center, but you could also see him thrusted into that role alongside Andre James as a guard, though. So if you're going on the left side with Andre James had shown flashes last year. He got better as the season went on. But if you have Dylan Parham on the left side along with Colton Miller, and Dylan Parham shows that he could be...
Let me close my window. Dogs are barking.
All good. So he could show that he could live up to that third round potential, then I'm good with that. It's the right side I more have a question mark around, and that's Lester Cotton and Alex Leatherwood. And I love that point that you bring up about the penalties. Last year, it felt like all those pre-snap penalties were coming off the heels of a play where Leatherwood was flustered. I go back to that Colts game. We brought up that Colts game. One of the plays that I look back on is Darius Leonard as a linebacker. He loves to talk, right? He's a big talker as a middle linebacker for that team. And I remember...
Really good, too. He's allowed to talk.
He's really, really good. And I remember him chirping at Leatherwood, and then Leatherwood followed it up with a false start. Like, he was flustered after Darius Leonard had trash-talked him. And that's just one of the many examples you could find throughout the season of Leatherwood, just not finding his footing. So, I don't know. If he can improve on that, then okay. But again, the way that this offensive line is looking right now, Gruden ruined it. That's what I have to say. Yeah. Gruden ruined it, man. He had Rodney Hudson say, you know what, I don't want to play here anymore. He signed Richie Incognito to that big deal and didn't bother to get a replacement. I don't know about Andre James at center. Like, I blame Gruden for this.
I wasn't super worried about Andre James. I know he's rated kind of middle to lower pack in Pro Football Focus, just overall centers. But I was after like the first couple weeks where he was just lofting the ball high to Derek, like in week one, where it just seemed like every single like snap was going to go over Derek's head.
Yeah.
After that, I think he settled down a lot and kind of grew into the role. So I wasn't too worried about, I like John Simpson. You know that, shout out Clemson. Mm-hmm. And Colton Miller's still solid. So like they have the left side of the line, I think, figured out with Simpson and Miller for me anyways. It is that right side that you're concerned about, though.
Yeah.
And that's, and in this division, when you got a Bosa going after you, Chris Jones, Khalil Mack, Bradley Chubb, you got all these beasts, man. It's important. It's important. And offense makes things go. We're harping on it every single week here on Black Hole Sunday that you got to score. This is what this whole division and league is built on, scoring, airing it out, giving your quarterback enough time, not letting him get hurt. So it's going to be huge, Steve. So, I think we're pretty much in agreement on the offensive line, what needs to happen, what might happen.
Well, let's look on the other side, though, because the other side is it's going to need to keep up if these other teams in the AFC West are going to get after him with their edge rushers. So as it's looking like on the depth chart right now, you got Chandler Jones as the starter opposite Max Crosby. They're both your edge rushers. It's currently a 4-3, but you never know with Patrick Graham. It's an illusion of complexity, yet he calls the game very simple and thinks people were overreacting to that. I might have been. But up the middle, you're going to have Andrew Billings, and then you're going to have Bilal Nichols, who is currently on the reserve COVID-19 list as of right now. Then backing those guys up. You're going to have Cleland Farrell and Jerry Green on opposite ends, along with Tyler Lancaster and veteran Kyle Pecco up the middle. So the defensive line, what are you thinking? And it is right to say that, as you mentioned, that Chandler Jones has missed the last four practices, most likely an injury. I don't know if they're keeping him out of practice. He's not going to play in the preseason. Don't expect him to play in the preseason. I'll just say this. I'm not too worried about him missing four straight practices. I'm just not. If this were something that were very serious, then I think they would have disclosed that injury. But right now, they're just not. And maybe it's just not worth even reporting to the media so no one goes insane over it. Maybe it's like Eric Armstead with the Niners. We just saw it. He wasn't practicing with the team. Everyone was wondering where he was. Turned out that he had a sprained MCL and that he's going to be out for a few weeks, and they're just most likely going to keep him out in preseason and keep him in the regular season. So when I say all those names and look at the defensive line, what are you thinking?
Well, it sucks that Bilal Nichols has COVID. I think that was one of the signings this offseason I was actually intrigued about, was just seeing a defensive tackle that just, you know, stood out amongst a great defense with the Bears. Like, whenever I saw the team, he made plays. That defensive line always got a good push. So, sucks we can't see him, but hey, Hall of Fame game. That means we have one extra one, so we'll get to see him.
25 years old, 6'4", 300 pounds. I'm feeling good about it.
Decent size there, 6'4", 300 pounds. I'm about 5'11", 300 pounds right now myself. I'm not. Yeah. For those of you who haven't seen me, I'm not that fat. That fat. Kyle Pecco is interesting. We've seen him a lot, obviously. He was at Denver, I want to say, Denver, and he's made his rounds. Kyle Pecco.
Denver, Buffalo, Indianapolis, and then back to Denver, then Tennessee.
Back to Denver. Titans for a hot second, that's right. But we know him mostly from the Broncos. Makes plays occasionally, D-tackle, 6'1", so not huge in stature, but he can get after it. So it's interesting there. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not – until I see Chandler Jones and Max Crosby on both edges, I can't really say anything. And
right.
I don't think either of them are going to play in any preseason game. So,
yeah.
Malcolm Kuntz, though, that's an interesting guy because obviously, you know, everyone else knows that they saw the video blow up on Twitter. That was one of the big kind of videos to come out of training camp so far in the NFL. Was Josh McDaniels just laying into Malcolm Kuntz and just basically said, "You don't touch Derek Carr." It was a scramble drill, I guess wasn't supposed to touch him or got in his way. I don't know what the play was, but apparently he wasn't supposed to get in his way or touch Derek. Josh McDaniels is not happy, pissed off at him. So this is a big opportunity for Kuntz in these preseason games because he showed flashes last year. He made some plays towards the end there. I want to see it, Steve. I want to see him.
Yeah. No, I agree. You look at him where he's at on the depth chart right now. He's the third string defensive end. I think for a guy who was drafted as highly as he was back in 2021, you'd expect that to get a little higher.
Cleve Furrell is a little concerning. I think maybe that's just hey, dude, like you need to get your act together kind of thing. Maybe that's just trying to light a fire under him because he is more skilled than Cleve Furrell. I'll say it. Like I've seen the burst for Malcolm Kuntz that I never saw with Cleve Furrell.
Yeah.
Like I've seen it in plays. Like my eyes, they tell me this guy can make plays. Cleve Furrell, he might not even make the team, Steve. Like straight up. Like he might not.
Yeah.
Which is wild. And I won't say he's one of the biggest draft busts ever, but my God.
Hey.
One of the biggest reaches ever.
If you could involve him in a trade, Cleve Furrell, Tevin Jenkins.
That's interesting.
Tevin Jenkins?
That's interesting. Yeah, I forgot to bring him up during our live talk. We can bring him up now. Bears are shopping him around. Quote-unquote maturity issues. That's a little scary, but maybe he's just not in the right place. New regime there, obviously, with the Bears. Maybe the Raiders. Maybe I don't know how Ziegler felt about him and McDaniels when they were in New England. So, hey, what do you think it'll take? Because he still has, what, 3 more years of control because he was drafted last year.
Yes. Second round pick.
So 3 more years. Only getting paid, what, $4.5 million or something like that? Like nothing.
Yep.
So.
I don't know.
What are you willing to give up for that? That's the thing. Like, not a lot, right? Because he's kind of unproven. but he was a high draft pick. He was,
and throwing Ferrell in there is just, I'm just throwing that name out there. They'd be dumb to take that because Ferrell's at the end of his rookie deal. So it's like, yeah, let's trade away a second round pick for a first round. Let's face it. He's not a bust, but he's totally a miss with what Cleveland Ferrell was brought to the team. So yeah, would it be smart business? But hey, if you could trade a draft pick to get Tevin Jenkins, that'd be worth it. I don't know. It depends on what the Bears want for him. So that's something to keep an eye on. But I'm feeling all right about the defensive line with Crosby and Jones on the end, and what Bilal Nichols' his potential is. I'm liking it. So
I will say this: it does feel thin.
Yeah.
Like if there's an injury to Chandler or Max, I'm not feeling too great.
Yeah.
Like that's when you need a guy like Malcolm Kuntz to step up.
Yeah.
Like that's why I think Josh McDaniels is probably so hard on him. Like, dude, like we're counting on you. Like we need you this year. So. We'll see. I'm not wishing injury on anyone, but through the course of the season, man, it's just what happens. People get hurt.
Don't forget about Jerry Green, who was traded by the Indianapolis Colts over to the Raiders. He's just had 1 year under his belt. He was a sixth-round pick back in 2019, and he was signed by the Raiders as he was waived, and then eventually went to Washington.
I did forget, Steve.
Jerry Green, a name that we should all know and love. All right, let's continue to the outside on the defense. Looking at this linebacking core right now, Divine Diablo, Denzel Perryman, and Jayon Brown are your linebackers right now. Divine Diablo playing the Will, Jayon Brown playing the Sam, and Denzel Perryman playing the Mike. And backing up Denzel Perryman is Darian Butler and also Kenny Young backing him up on the outside. Then Curtis Bolton, who they just signed. He's a newly acquired addition. I don't know what number 36 is going to bring. I think this is going to be a big training camp for him. I like what Divine Diablo brought. Denzel Perryman, a Pro Bowler. Not sure what to expect from Brown. You want to talk about a thin position. Linebacker's thin right now. Beyond Perryman and Diablo, I don't know anything about any of these players. Maybe Kenny Young. Micah Kaiser, unfortunately, got hurt, so we're not going to see him. So it's a thin group right now.
Very thin, like the D-line, but even more so. But having a guy like Perryman returning is huge, coming off a career year, Pro Bowl year, led the team in tackles, just a stud. Diablo showed flashes last year too. One of the great names in football, by the way. If he shows up to be a stud, I would love to get a jersey with just says Diablo on the back. Like it's just such a perfect name for Sin yeah. City and Las Vegas too, right? Diablo.
Yep.
It just fits. So yep. I like that. Jayon Brown is a guy who's been consistent. I was talking to Kyle Mattson, host of Kansas City Chronicles, and he used to cover the Titans actually before he did the Niners, and he likes Jayon Brown. He was telling me he's not going to be flashy or anything like that, but he makes plays. Like he'll make like the right tackle, the right read. So like just be consistent is all you're looking for from that position. And speed is a thing that the Raiders have been lacking at the linebacker position. Nicholas Morrow provided that in the past. But I'm looking at that Diablo. Like that's going to be the guy to be a more rangy guy, fly down, be that, you know, Bobby Wagner, Fred Warner guy, just making the big, huge play to get the stop on third downs.
Yep. I think being a 27-year-old, having to go sideline to sideline, like you mentioned, I think that's going to be important. Jayon Brown, apparently he's been looking good in camp. You can only tell so much. So I think linebackers are what we're really going to be focusing on this defense and specifically this front seven to see what they really have, because this training camp and preseason, it tests your depth. But yeah, I like Deion Diablo too. Number five. I'm looking forward to that. Let's continue. You know what? Let's go on. Let's continue with the defense here and just go to the secondary. Listed on the outside, and I don't think this is going to – I think this is going to change because Trayvon Mullen is going to have a spot on this roster. But on the outside, Rakia Sin and Nate Hobbs. Obviously, Rakia Sin was acquired via trade with Yannick Ngakoue going to the Colts. Amik Robertson and Anthony Averett, you can expect that those guys are going to be your slot corners. Who knows what's going to happen with Trayvon Mullen as he's on the reserve COVID list right now. So I'm looking at this secondary, and a lot of people aren't too high on it, but I think Nate Hobbs is a damn good player. It's actually funny. you see the juxtaposition of the two, of Nate Hobbs and Rock Ya-Sin, because they were both asked, like, do you play with a chip on your shoulder? Nate Hobbs said, always. I always play with a chip on my shoulder, every single play. Then Rock Ya-Sin's like, nah, I don't play with a chip on my shoulder. He's like, the chip on my shoulder is that I'm going to get better every day and elevate my game no matter what. They both have a lot of good things to say about each other. I think they're working well. And then, you know, going up against that wide receiver core with Davante Adams and Hunter Renfrow and Mac Hollins, they're getting a lot of different looks, different types of wide receivers in practice. I think that's going to benefit them going forward. But I'm feeling good about the secondary, man. And Anthony Averett, he looks like Damon Arnett. It's really bothersome. He's going to be wearing 29. And
he
Arnett
does look 19. Like him, and it bothers me too.
Yeah, yeah. The same body type, same everything. I'm not going to get Arnett out of my head.
He does look like him.
Yes.
Man.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that, but no, you're right. I like Daron Harmon too, by the way, for free safety.
Mm.
I feel like he was a player with the Patriots that just made plays. He's won titles there. It's a good pickup, a nice little move for McDaniels and Ziegler, bringing a guy that they're familiar with that can, you know, kind of fortify that back end. When you got look at a guy like Jonathan Abram, we'll see there. Like, that's not feeling great about him, but maybe Patrick Graham can find something in him that wasn't there with Gus Bradley. Merrick, I like. I had a funny joke with Rocky saying, chip on his shoulder? He doesn't need one because he's a rock, so he has a rock on his shoulder. but no, you're right. The iron sharpens iron, and you're just looking at all during training camp, seeing guys like Vic Taffer and Tashaun Reed and all these Vinny Bonsignor just tweeting out like, hey, Nate Hobbs and Rocky Sin making plays against this offense, against Derek Carr, against Devontae, Hunter Renfrow, like, one thing Nate Hobbs and I, we watched it last year, he just sticks, man. He sticks to these people. And that's so huge in this league. Not only just to be kind of an irritant, because I think wide receivers just, they're used to just getting these free cushions and no one can touch me kind of thing. Nate Hobbs toes that line. And I think Rock Ya-Sin does too, of being a little more physical than you're allowed to be, but getting away with it. And I think there's a subtle art in cornerback play of getting away with that. And guys like Charles Woodson were so good at it when he was a corner. Richard Sherman, obviously, Darrell Revis. Just that subtle little, just pushing it to the edge and being physical at the corner position, but not getting penalized is huge. And I think these two got it.
Yeah. No, they're a little, they, you're right, though. They are on the shorter side. They're not exactly that tall. 6'1", respectively.
Absolutely. But you have, and to combat that, you have to be a little physical. Like, you got to get up into that wide receiver, make them like uncomfortable when you're going up against the 6'4", 6'5" guys in this league. And you know what? Just get in their face, make them uncomfortable, and you can disrupt plays. Nate Hobbs has got hops, though. Hops for Hobbs, all right?
Yeah. No, it's the same thing with Rock Ya-Sin, too. They make plays, man. I'm feeling pretty good about this secondary. I think Trevon Merrick is going to take a step up. And you mentioned Abram, too. I Daron Harmon, I think he's more there just to be a veteran presence. I do think he's going to make the 53 man, and he'll be important for this team moving forward. But I want to see how Jonathan Abram responds. You know, the Raiders decline his fifth year option. He seems like a guy who really loves himself some Jonathan Abram. You know, he really does whatever he wants on the field. There's no doubt that he can hit, but it's just playing smart, you know, being instinctual and understanding where the play is going to go. There have been too many times where he just lets, you know, where, when, you know, he's a, when he's in split coverage and, you know, he's splitting on one side of the field and he's got to cover one side of the field. Too many times we've seen him go and try to make a tackle that isn't there. So I want to see him take that next step up. Can he? Only time will tell. Will Patrick Graham get the best out of him? That's what coaches are supposed to do. Put him in the best position to succeed. So I'm hoping that Patrick Graham does that, man, with Abram.
I hope so too, because I feel like Abram, he has all the physical traits to be a good safety. He's tough, fast. He can pop the players, which I guess he can't really do anymore, but he still does occasionally. It's just some of the boneheaded stuff that a safety is just, you can't do.
Yeah.
You're literally, it's, the position's called safety. You're the last line of defense. Like, you can't get beat over the top constantly. And that's just all I saw when I was going against Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and now Russell Wilson. It's like, come on, man. It's like, it's his last shot.
Yeah. So we have that through the secondary. The defense, I think it's going to be better than most people think, better than we're making it out to be. They are a little thin in terms of depth, but as far as their starting 11 goes on the defensive side of the ball, feeling pretty good about it. Now, going to the offense, and we've already talked about the offensive line, but I don't know. There's really not much more to say about the wide receivers. We know Davante Adams and Hunter Renfrow, and we'll throw in Darren Waller in that mix too. We know that they're going to be the guys. Everything else is just ancillary. You know, Keelan Cole, Mac Hollins, who's having a hell of a camp still. Those guys might do something, but the top three receivers, Renfrow, Waller, and Adams, like these other guys, all right, they might have, you know, a Bryan Edwards type of play every now and then where they make a nice catch on third down, but it's these other guys who are going to be taking a majority of the receptions here. So I think we're feeling okay about wide receiver, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. Mac Hollins is impressing per sources, yeah, too. People are liking what he's making, some incredible catches. Big guy, 6'4". We talked about that last time. Just kind of that Bryan Edwards mold of just a large wide receiver, a big body, goal line guy. Those, you know, I love those back shoulder fades. So
yeah,
Derek does too. Derek loves those throws. Like he's good at it. Like it, people like to crush that play, but when it works, it's like, what are you going to, it's perfect. Like you can't,
no, it's such a low percentage play, Joe.
No, it's not. No,
yes,
it's not.
It is.
You practice this daily. And if you have, it's not a low percentage play if you have a good quarterback and a good wide receiver and they have a rapport. Like it's not, you don't hear that it's a low percentage play when it's a guy like Patrick Mahomes throwing it, or Tom Brady, when they throw it to Mike Evans or Travis Kelce, and it hits 100% of the time, it feels like.
Yeah.
Anyways, not to go off on that.
Just give me Davante Adams and Hunter Renfrow inside the five.
Well, yeah, you didn't, well, with those guys, we just need quick science. We're good now. Like that's all you need. That's all you need.
You're gonna have Renfrow like running a triple move or whatever on this cornerback, and then you're gonna have Davante Adams on the other side just running wide open. I can't wait.
Just so sick. Just that one he had against, even though it was a blowout, they just always put it on his highlight reel. They were getting blown out against the Chiefs this year in Kansas City, but he put Charvarius Ward in a blender.
Yes,
that China route they call it, inside, outside, back, inside. Man, so sick. So I'm excited to see Hunter Renfrow. I'm bothered they're still doing this with him, though, and I don't know if he like went to McDaniels or McDaniels just saw it last year and wants to stick with it. I don't like him returning punts, especially now that he got paid. I don't like it. Like, I know he made plays last year, but God, he has the dropsies on punts. Like he had a little bit of the dropsies last year.
A little bit of the dropsies
a few times. Got the dropsies. That's what I'm calling it. And you got a guy like Keelan Cole, I think, who could serve that perfectly. You just paid Renfrow all this money. I don't want him getting blown up, muffing a punt, and then something, his ankle twist or something like that. I don't want it, Steve. It scares me.
Oh, man. Well, hey, speaking of the return team, though, you see who they got at kick returner listed as the number one guy? Amir Abdullah.
I like that.
It's the only
elite name, by the way.
People were convinced when he was with Detroit that Amir Abdullah was going to be the guy. He was a preseason hero. Amir Abdullah was popping some eyes, dude. And now they got him as a kick returner. I like that. I'm good with that, but I'm with you. I don't like Hunter Renfrow being a punt returner either. They need to figure something else there. They do, because he's just too valuable to this team. You can't let him get hurt. You just can't. So Keelan, I don't know. Keelan Cole, Darius Phillips, I don't know. Where's Kenyon Drake going to go? Like what's going to happen with him? Because right now at running back, you got Josh Jacobs, Brandon Bolden, who's not going to be much more than a pass-catching running back, Zamir White, who has just started practicing up again. He missed the past couple, but he's back. Apparently, he's looking good. And then you got Kenyon Drake, who's listed as the third running back right now. So I don't even know when he's supposed to be back, what his timetable for his return is. But if you're going to keep Kenyon Drake there, maybe keep him as a punt returner. But Zamir White's the guy everyone's looking out for. When you have someone in that draft, 1 through 7, you're going to be paying attention to that running back no matter which round he's in. Because if you draft a running back at some point, that means you find some value for him. Everyone loves a rookie running back, and Zamir White, looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm excited, and especially in this offense where we're just going to see so many different running. It's going to be running back by committee. It's going to be feed the hot hand. What's working today against this team? What's working tomorrow against this other team?
Yeah.
I'm excited. Like Josh Jacobs being that lead dog too, still. Like him at goal line situations. Zamir White, he's a dog. We'll see what he could add. Kenyon Drake out of the backfield, I think, is going to be awesome in a McDaniels offense. Like he's a perfect fit for a McDaniels and the New England type offense that we've seen in the past, where you so often saw Tom Brady just checking it down to James White, that kind of mold where it's just like, oh, how is he so wide open? Just this little check. It's like his third option checks real quick, and then he just runs for 15 yards. Like, Kenyon Drake is so perfect for that. Brandon Bolden, like you said, another Patriots guy coming over here. I'm excited for this offense, man. Like, no, like, if this offensive line could stay healthy and just come together, man, just the sky's the limit. But yeah. Again, first year head coach, so I might need to pump the brakes a little bit. New offense for a lot of these guys, Derek, Devontae. We'll see how quickly they can get with it. I think it did take Derek a little while to get with it with John Gruden, although that offense is still kind of vanilla looking back. So it was just like, maybe it was just the offense not being very great. So we'll see, Steve. Running back depth, fine by me. I think we're in one of the best positions in the NFL running back, like depth wise. Like, there's not too many teams that have this kind of the depth.
Yeah. And you got the motivation of Josh Jacobs with that fifth year option. So I'm looking down actually the pronunciation guide. So we got,
I like that too.
We got Amir Abdullah and Anthony Averett, correct? So we're good there. But then we're looking at, and I got to pull this thing closer. So we got Diablo. We're good there. Cleland.
Don't sleep on Myron Tungavailoa-Umasu.
Wow. Tungavailoa-Umasu. That's a good one. Then we got Trent Sig.
Umasu.
Oh, it's Amik Robertson. I always call him Amik. So it's Amik.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you didn't know that.
I thought it was Amik. Wait, no.
You're thinking of Sam Amick. You're thinking of Sam Amick from Sports Illustrated.
Okay, so Foster Moreau, Trevon Merrig. So we're right there. And then it's Jakob Johnson. Going to get that. That's a fun one. Jakob. And then we got, where's the other one here? Oh, it's Parham. So Dylan Parham. I keep calling him Parham.
Dylan Parham. Interesting.
So there you go. How about that? Hieronis Grasu. Excited to see him be a backup center. We'll see what happens with that. You've done well with Illuminor. So
Quintario Cole. I love some of these names.
These are great.
The one that was throwing me off was on one of the DTs, Tyler Lancaster. I always immediately think of Tywin Lannister for some reason. Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah. He sounds like someone from the medieval times for sure.
The lion does not concern himself with the opinions of the sheep, Steve, as you know. House of Dragon coming out in a couple weeks. Excited for that.
Ooh, how about that? So one more thing on the Hall of Fame game, and I'm excited to see Cliff Branch inducted, but I don't know, seeing what happened with Ken Stabler, like, I'm glad that, you know, for his family and everything, but these posthumous NFL inductions, like, this would have been so much more satisfying if Cliff Branch were around to actually receive this award, because, man, he was the originator of the deep ball as far as being one of those guys who's just an absolute threat. Like, Cliff Branch was that guy. Al Davis loved speed. Al Davis loved Cliff Branch. I mean, congratulations to him, but we're going to see him accept that award at the Hall of Fame game. These posthumous Hall of Fame things, I don't know how I really feel about it. I don't feel great about it, but, you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, you're excited for the team and the family that gets to celebrate it. Get to see Mark Davis and his beautiful haircut get up there and have a speech about him.
Mm.
God, that guy. You think he gets a fresh cut that day, by the way?
Fresh cut? What does that mean, a fresh cut? If he's going to get a smaller sized ice cream bowl? He's going to get like a Lovett sized ice cream bowl.
I was thinking of a ramen type bowl, a little more depth.
Nice.
The ramen bowls.
Yeah, no, it's actually a really good
comparison. but you're right. Like, it sucks that the family's not going to be there. John Madden obviously passing away. Mm-hmm. That hurt. Like, you would have liked to see a guy like that coached him. He's passed. Ken Stabler, like, it really does. It stinks. It just goes back. And it, not that the NFL's trying to do this, but it does feel like why the Raiders? Like, why couldn't this guy been in a while ago when he was alive? Same with Ken Stabler. It just feels like the Raiders more than any other team have gotten hosed on these kind of things. And it sucks just for the families that have to deal with that. Like, that sucks that they're not going to be able to celebrate with their dad. Yeah. So I'm excited that he's going to get inducted. Obviously, who else is getting inducted this year? Tony Boselli, that's cool. He's had to wait a long time. Tony Obviously, Boselli. He's already for the Jaguars, rather.
Brian Young.
Brian Young.
Leroy Butler, Art McNally, Sam Mills, another one. Rest in peace to Sam Mills. And then, of course, the one and only Richard Seymour.
Dude, Raider legend. I forgot. That's cool.
Do you think they're going to show at all? Do you think they're going to show anything with him and Ben Roethlisberger?
Oh, him punching him in the face. That was the highlight of his career, I think.
Yep.
Hey, he was an all pro with the Raiders. People sleep on that. Like he was legit. Like you laugh at it, but he even thanked them. Like when he got the call that he's in Doug, he's like, I want to thank the Raiders. And like too, like Al Davis, like, listen, like that's like once a Raider, always a Raider. We claim him. Absolutely. I know he made his bones in New England, but he was an all pro with us. He wasn't a slouch. Come on.
Oh man. Richard Seymour.
I know those are the really tough years to watch. So that's another reason. Shout out Jakarcus Russell, but yeah.
Was he an all pro with the Raiders?
Let me look up. I'm almost positive he was. If it wasn't first team, it was definitely second team.
He was second team all pro. I'm looking
that
at
counts.
It.
That's all pro.
he was still a 2-time Pro Bowler with them. Yeah. In his first year, 16 games. He had let's see here, 47 combined tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 13 quarterback hits, and 5.5 sacks the following season, 6 sacks, not nearly as many tackles for loss. He had half of what he had in 2010. And then, wow, just a wild time with Richard Seymour. And then, you know what? He closed out his career with the Raiders. So there you go. And he's being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Look, there's only so much speculating we can do, and glad we had this first depth chart to react to, but now we're actually going to have a game, and there's only so much you could draw from a Hall of Fame game, but you can guarantee if you aren't able to watch it on Thursday, Spadoni and I are going to incessantly talk about it on the next podcast, just in case you need your information about everything that happened in the first extra preseason game for the Raiders coming up here. So really looking forward to it.
Spadoni. Yeah, it kind of sucks. No Trevor Lawrence. I actually wanted to see like if the rookie was going to play Lawrence or Etienne. I get it. Doug Peterson's like, no, this guy's too important to the season. But, you know, he was still, I felt second year, maybe he would play. But Jarrett Stidham v. who was it? Jake Luton? I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's name.
Luton, I think.
Yeah, we don't even get C.J. Beathard v. No Nick CJ. Mullins? I was looking forward to that.
Yeah,
CJ Beathard v. Nick Mullins.
That was going to be the true battle of the 49ers backup quarterback right there. CJ Beathard versus Nick Mullins, duking it out in a Hall of Fame game.
Man,
yeah, we missed out. We missed out big time.
Take the under, by the way, in the Hall of Fame game, which I think has hit like the last decade.
Oh no! Whoever bets the Hall of Fame game, please
pick your battles. 11:45 daily, and Willard and Dibbs took the Giants.
Okay.
Giants plus 1.5 tonight, Steve, against the Dodgers.
Well, that's fine. That's fine if you're betting on like real sporting events, but if you're betting on a Hall of Fame game,
it's the first football game, NFL football game of the season.
Oh,
damn right, I'm betting it.
Is it the first football game of the season, or is it just something that they need to attach to the Hall of Fame to make it more interesting and to make it more of a spectacle?
I don't know. I like it. Well, we say we like it until we watch like the first two drives. It's like, damn, this sucks.
Yeah. All right. No, it's the stages that you go through. It's almost like, you know, you have the five stages of grief or whatever it is. You have the five stages of football. You go through training camp. Then after the first couple of practices, when you don't have or you got OTAs, then you want to go to training camp. Then when you have training camp without pads on, then it's all right, let's go to training camp with pads. Then once training camp's over, it's okay, let's get to preseason. I can't wait to preseason. Can't wait to watch these games. Then eventually it's like, all right, can we please just get on the field? We're currently in the third stage right now. We've already got the OTAs. We've got the training camp started. Now we got padded practices. We're in the middle of the third stage. Now we're going to get to the fourth stage. And within the fourth stage, we're going to get to the fifth stage where it's like, all right, I'm tired of preseason games. Now I just want to see the regular season underway. That's how it's going to go.
Facts.
Yep.
Facts. I'm already ready for week one, man. I'm excited. Chargers, Raiders. But we got some Jaguars first down in Canton, Ohio. How are you, Mike?
Oh, my God. I love it.
No, all right. Say, how are you, Bob? That's what it is.
How are you, Bob? Anything else?
Oh, man. I'm just, you know, waiting for Hall of Fame game. 2 more days. Yeah, I am interested to see some of the, like if Alex Leatherwood, some of these guys that need reps plays, you'll just be looking out for them. Guess that's kind of fun, but most just be soaking it up on Twitter like everyone else, just watching the game.
Yep. Yep. Can't wait to start tweeting about NFL games and for you to text me.
Oh, actually,
game's over by the first quarter with 9 minutes left.
We will have a change, though, because Mike Tirico took over for Al Michaels. He'll be with Chris Collinsworth, if I'm not mistaken, right? They'll be doing that game, so.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah, back in my – Chris Collinsworth, back in my day, I remember it.
Now, here's a guy in Malcolm Kuntz. He showed flashes last year, Mike, and the Raiders were really high on him. But Josh McDaniels is expecting a lot out of him.
Oh, my God, dude. He's going to do that feature on Lester Cotton, isn't he? Oh, my God. Now, here's a guy who was signed as an undrafted free agent.
Why are you talking about he's a prospector? He does not sound like that.
He's just going to be, like, reading his Wikipedia page. And now, here's a guy who found God. Anyway.
No, he'll have a Pro Football Focus page. It's, like, 50 things long.
There's yeah, everyone along that offensive line is, like, the 70th at their position.
Some Munson just printed this out for me. There you go. Here you go.
Oh, my God. All right, Spadone, that's going to do it for us. We'll have a Hall of Fame game to react to, and then we're that much closer to the regular season starting for the Las Vegas Raiders. All right, thanks so much, everyone. Of course, you can catch this anywhere you get your podcasts. You want to go to Spotify, you want to go to Apple Podcasts, you want to go to 95.7 The Game's partner, Audacy, Audacy. Our podcasts are all there. It's right under the pregame show page. So search up the pregame show with Stephen Langford and you will find Black Hole Sundays. We're still trying to find that channel, Spadoni. Maybe we'll get that during the season. But as of right now, just find that under the pregame show page. New episodes coming out every week. They're scattered sometimes because Spadoni and I have conflicting schedules and it just sometimes doesn't work out. So we will try to get at least one episode out for you every single week. But that's going to do it for today. And for Joe Spadoni and myself.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.